It's time for Dishing Up Nutrition with licensed nutritionist Darlene Kvist. Each week, Darlene explains the connection between what you eat and how you feel. Stay tuned to hear practical, real-life solutions for healthier living through good nutrition. Dishing Up Nutrition is brought to you by Nutritional Weight and Wellness.
Slow down, you move too fast. You got to make the morning last. Just
well, welcome to Dishing Up Nutrition. I'm Darlene Kvist, licensed nutritionist, certified nutrition specialist. And today's show is brought to you by Nutritional Weight and Wellness, a company specializing in life-changing nutrition education and counseling. You know, if you have fibromyalgia, what would life be life-changing for you? So, you know, just think about that a minute. What would be life-changing for you if you had fibromyalgia? You know, maybe it is getting down on the floor and playing with your grandchildren and knowing you can get up again.
It's one thing to get down,
but it's another thing to get up.
Yes.
Or would it be to invite people over for the New Year's Day party and actually have everything ready for the party and be really feeling like you're going to be a great host? Or would it be to go to the farmer's market and really enjoy the sights and sounds and visit each vendor and without really hurting and without struggling to walk back to the car?
Some of those farmers markets can get big.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we know that fibromyalgia can be a very limiting disease. You ache, you have fatigue, you feel down. Sometimes you just can't sleep. Let's face it, you don't want to get in a canoe and paddle around the lake. You would rather just rock in your favorite rocking chair. So today we're going to talk about nutritional solutions to fibromyalgia. And that may be a new thought for a lot of people, even thinking that there are any solutions.
I think that's a huge new thought for people.
And that nutrition makes that much difference. And you heard her voice. She's joining me today. Our co-host is Brenna Thompson. Brenna is a registered dietitian, and she sees clients in our North Oaks office and also at our Maple Grove location. And you also consult clients on the phone or by Skype?
I do. I have a couple of clients. I think I've got one in New Zealand or Australia right now.
Right. Oh, really? Okay.
Yes. All yep. Right. I see her by Skype.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
So, and I bet some of those people have fibromyalgia.
I do have a few, yes.
You know, it's kind of interesting. We were talking about that just before the show and about how many clients that we have with fibromyalgia. And I see a lot of times clients come in and they list a whole bunch of different things. And then they'll say, oh, yeah, by the way, I have fibromyalgia. So
yeah.
There'll be a lot of other things, you know, and they come in for maybe those. And then they say, oh, yeah, I have fibromyalgia. So
just kind of this little offhand. Oh, yeah, by the way,
yes,
I have this debilitating
condition. Yes.
And we know that about 2% to 4% of the population is affected by fibromyalgia, and it's about 8 times more common in women than in men.
That's an interesting fact.
That's
Brenna.
A very interesting fact. It tells us that men and women are not the same.
Yes.
And there's something different going on in women.
Mm-hmm.
And this fibromyalgia is more likely to develop when you are middle-aged and older, and there are about 5 million people with fibromyalgia.
So kind of to put that number in perspective, about 10% of the population is chemically dependent. At least that's what the numbers used to be. And I think they still are kind of in that. 10% are chemically dependent. And honestly, you can find a treatment center on almost every corner these days.
Mm-hmm.
But I have never seen a treatment center for fibromyalgia. It is one of those mystery illnesses and affects, you know, really many women in perimenopause and menopause. That's where it kind of targets itself.
So it almost sounds like there could be a hormone connection there.
Yes, you might think there might be a
little bit. There might
be,
but we don't know.
Yes.
And we thought today that we would open up our minds, or your minds, to some possible reasons for all of this fatigue and all of this aching and share some very sound solutions. Now, if you have an aunt with fibromyalgia or a mother-in-law or a sister with fibromyalgia, give them a call and tell them to tune in.
So you know if you have fibromyalgia that it's a very complex chronic pain disorder, and it can interfere with your life, both physically, you know, it's maybe hard to walk back on the farmer's market. It can affect you mentally, and it can even affect you socially. If you have fibromyalgia, you know how difficult it can be to get to your seat at the Twins game. You know, you need to, you know, people need to be able to walk a distance.
Yeah.
And they need to go up and down a flight of stairs usually. And that's not so easy for some. You know, and then what happens to people when it becomes too difficult, they just quit going to events. They pass those things up and they say, no, I'm too busy.
Or, I'm too busy. They come up with another excuse.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's just because their body hurts too much to make the effort. So it does affect people socially.
Well, and not just going to the Twins game, but think about maybe every Sunday they want to go to church.
Yes.
And it's difficult to walk across that parking lot.
Oh, that's, yes. I hadn't even thought about that one.
And I know that's very social for people.
Exactly.
Yeah. Now, the National Fibromyalgia Association considers fibromyalgia a syndrome rather than a disease. And there is a difference between syndromes and diseases. And this means that a syndrome is a collection of signs, symptoms, and medical problems, but is not related to one specific cause.
So we have to really, you know, as nutritionists, we really have to be master detectives. And we work the clues to determine who or what is the villain that is causing the chronic pain. And it's chronic pain in muscles. It's chronic pain in ligaments, and it's chronic pain in tendons. So, and then there's other things that we have to look at. What's causing the sleep problems?
Because that's a huge one for people with fibro.
Very big issue. So we have to look at, is it a lack of magnesium? Or, I mean, even is how magnesium is getting into those muscles. Is it how your cells are using the magnesium, if you have enough magnesium.
And, which most of us don't.
And so it's like 60 to 70% of the population really doesn't have enough magnesium.
Right.
So you look at, okay, or, you know, those are one of the things that we look at. Is it magnesium? And then, you know, if it is magnesium, probably, Brenna, what do you think people need often for, you know, if they're going to take magnesium glycinate at bedtime or sleep, what do they need to kind of start out with?
I usually start people, especially if they're really having trouble falling asleep, I just start them off at about 400 milligrams of the magnesium glycinate.
And then if that isn't enough,
then we work up from there.
Then we work up. We might go to 600.
We might go to 800.
And, you know, I've topped out at 1200.
Wow.
And I listened to a person presenting some research, and they said that sometimes people have to go up to, usually they're about 100 milligrams. So you have to go up to about 2,000 milligrams of magnesium to break through that lack of being able to sleep.
Okay.
So it's, you just have to work with people. So, you know, looking at some of the other clues, you know, it may be that they have insufficient serotonin in their system. And we kind of know serotonin is a main neurotransmitter.
Yes, it is.
In your brain. And we know what makes serotonin.
Protein.
So we then look at how much protein people are eating and boost that serotonin level. Mm-hmm. Or here's a very simple. If you've got aches and pains.
Get rid of the sugar.
You got to look. Are they eating too much sugar? You know, there are so many other factors, though, on sleep that you have to really look at. Those are just some of the few things that we look at.
Yeah, and we also know that fibromyalgia clients have an energy crisis. And this might be kind of something on its own, but it might also, or usually is related back to a lack of sleep. And it's as if people with fibromyalgia spend more energy than they are able to make.
And I mean, when you think about that, that's an interesting statement. They use up more energy than their cells will make.
Yes.
When I visualize that in people's body, it really tells you the level of fatigue that somebody might have if they have fibromyalgia. And I think sometimes we don't appreciate that even when we're working with people, especially if we're not one of those kind of people that lack energy.
Nope.
We have to see, okay, their cells do not make enough energy.
Yeah.
For them to function.
Right.
So.
So they're spending more energy than they are able to make. And I like to kind of think of this as if they, let's say they have a 3,000 square foot house.
Kind of like about what you just bought, right?
That's a little bit bigger than what we bought. But yes, no. So they've got this huge house. And let's say it's 95 degrees outside. It didn't get quite that warm.
Okay.
So it's 95, maybe 110 degrees outside, and they need to cool down their house. But they only have a small window air conditioner, like what I had in college.
Yes. I was going to say, I've lived that one.
Yep. So they turn up that little window air conditioner on just full blast. But instead of cooling down the house, they blow a fuse. And now we've got no cool air coming out of the air conditioner. And the house just keeps heating up.
So same thing happens to people, basically.
Mm-hmm.
What can cause your body to have increased energy demands? Maybe we should just stop at that and take a break, because I think people are wanting to know what causes that.
Yeah, now you are listening to Dishing Up Nutrition. Fibromyalgia is a very complex chronic pain condition, and local physician Dr. Gregory Plotnikoff examined 150 patients with chronic pain in 2002. He found that 93% were deficient in vitamin D. 140 of the 150 pain patients were low in vitamin D, and they were not supplementing with vitamin D.
That's interesting, Brenna, when you stop and think about it. Most of those people, 140 out of 150, were having chronic pain, that were low in vitamin D.
Yeah. Now, before seeing Dr. Plotnikoff, none had been tested for their vitamin D levels.
And probably they had been to a doctor before him.
Oh, probably. So if you have chronic pain, ask to be tested. No, you need to insist on being tested, because most people need to supplement with 2,000 to 5,000 IUs daily. And low levels of vitamin D affect every organ and system in your body. Vitamin D just might help clear up that fibro fog.
So, and we might even talk about that when we come back.
We might. Now, if you've got questions, give us a call at 651-641-1071.
Allow me to blow your mind. Ready? Fat doesn't make you fat. You okay? Still listening? All right, I got another one. Sugar substitutes actually cause you to gain weight. Whoa, is it opposite day? Nope, just dropping a little science on you. The kind you'll learn at Nutritional Weight and Wellness. The kind that will teach you how to eat real food that gets you to your real weight and makes you feel real good. For good. Because the point system doesn't add up. The starvation diet is mean. And you can count on calorie counting to let you down every single time. Learn to eat the way people did when obesity was an exception, not an epidemic. And learn how much delicious, real, vital food you can eat. That's the part that will really blow your mind, and eventually your butt, right off your backside. To sign up for Nutrition for Weight Loss, call Nutritional Weight and Wellness at 651-699-3438 or visit weightandwellness.com.
Well, welcome back to Dishing Up Nutrition. If you have a sleep problem, I encourage you to take our Weight and Wellness series. You know, nurses, if you want to earn 14.4 continuing education credits, I really encourage you to take our Weight and Wellness series. You know, if you have diabetes, if you have arthritis or asthma, I encourage you to take the Weight and Wellness series, and classes start next week, July 8th, in Lakeville, Uptown, Maple Grove, North Oaks, Wayzata, and St. Paul. You will learn so much to help you feel better, really. It's amazing class. So call 651-699-3438 to register, or you can go online at weightandwellness.com and register it online.
And it's a fantastic class.
Oh, thank you. So we have some callers. Should we take a caller?
We do. Good morning, Miss Laura. You're on Dishing Up Nutrition. You have questions for us?
Yeah, I was just wondering, and this may sound silly, but I'm pregnant for the first time, so I'm paranoid about everything.
Yes.
Is taking that much vitamin D safe for someone who's pregnant?
Taking which vitamin?
Vitamin D.
D.
Yeah.
Oh, you should be tested, definitely.
Okay.
And see what your level is. You know, if your level is 12, yes, you need a lot of vitamin D. If your level is 50, you know, you don't, you just need a small amount as a maintenance dosage. So, okay, you know, that's really critical. It's critical for the fetus. It's critical for you to have the right amount of vitamin D. Yes. And it okay. should be somewhere between 50 and 80 is the ideal range for vitamin D.
And is that something that all doctors test for, or do I have to ask?
You have to ask. You have to ask. You have to, like Brenna said, you have to insist, because it is such a critical vitamin for people to have. I mean, you know, if you're sitting outside in the sun all day, you're probably not even getting enough here in Minnesota of vitamin D. And, you know, they've even done some studies on people living in Florida now, and they're not getting enough vitamin D. So it's really a critical vitamin to have in your system.
Okay, thank you.
So run right now and get a test.
I'm going to have to do that. I have an appointment next week. So.
Very good. Excellent. Thanks for
thank
the call.
You.
Good call. So,
and we've got another question.
Mm-hmm.
Good morning. Is this Miss Say?
Yes.
Good morning. You have a
good
question
morning.
For us.
Good morning. Yes, and I hope I don't lose you. My battery is running low.
Okay. Okay.
But I recently had my blood work done,
mm-hmm.
and the magnesium count came back as one point over the normal range.
Okay, and that was probably a blood test, right?
Yes.
That's not a very accurate way to test for magnesium.
Oh.
To get a real honest test to see how much magnesium you have in your cells or in your muscles, you really need to have like a, it's called a 24-hour urine collection.
Oh.
And because what our blood will do, it will pull calcium and magnesium out of our bones and out of our muscles to maintain a certain level in our blood system.
Okay.
And therefore, it doesn't give us an accurate number.
Okay, the doctor never mentioned anything like that.
Well, that's true. I mean, sometimes, you know, it doesn't know, you know, they just run blood tests typically.
Sure. But,
you know. So.
Are you taking magnesium?
Yes, I do. I was taking two of the glycinate 400 like you recommend
mm-hmm.
at night, but I did cut back to just taking one. Because of it being elevated in my blood work, and I'm still doing it. And I went back and had my blood test tested again, and yes, then it was more in the normal range.
And when you supplement, I think we had talked about this one time, Dar, that when we supplement, sometimes we might see slightly higher blood levels,
yes.
but it's not necessarily anything to get overly concerned about.
That was what I was going to ask, is what harm might there be?
There really, you know, usually what happens if people are taking more magnesium than their body really needs, they'll end up with a little bit of diarrhea.
Oh, okay. No, I don't have that problem. And I just want to make one other comment. Since
sure.
I've been taking the magnesium, I no longer get my heart palpitations.
Yes, exactly. Your heart's a muscle.
That has helped a lot.
Yes.
Well, good.
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
So I'd encourage you to go back to taking the two. I think you probably need it. But if you don't have any symptoms with one, great.
Okay, you know,
that should
good.
Be fine.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. Keep up yeah. the good work.
Okay. Thanks for the call.
Thank you.
Yep. So we were talking about energy before.
Energy and fibromyalgia.
So, you know, we have to ask the question, what can cause your energy, your body, what I'm talking here, let's see, your body to have increased energy demands, or why would your body need more energy? Maybe than what your body can make.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you have some kind of infection in your system. Maybe you have a viral infection. Maybe you have a bacterial infection. Maybe you have a fungus infection. You maybe have autoimmune conditions such as lupus, or maybe you have Hashimoto's thyroiditis, which is like hypothyroid, but it's an autoimmune condition.
And it's popping up more and more these days.
It is.
I see a lot of people with that.
There's many, many. There's over 100 different types of autoimmune diseases right now.
Mm-hmm.
And that demands more energy in your body
yeah.
to deal with that.
Or maybe your body just isn't making enough energy because you have a nutritional deficiency. A nutritional deficiency I often see is just simply not eating enough good fat.
You know, it's really hard to believe some, or should I say many people, still believe in the low-fat message. In fact, you know, if you're listening now this morning, just walk over to your refrigerator, open the door, and look inside. Are you there yet? Do you have low-fat yogurt in there? Or do you have skim milk? Or do you have fat-free dressing or low-fat dressing? Or maybe it's not in your refrigerator, but do you always order a skinny latte? Or when you order a salad, do you always say, hold the dressing? You know, one of my clients with fibromyalgia, she was so proud of being the queen of low-fat until she really realized her cells actually needed good fat for energy.
And I believe this low-fat eating craze may be the reason that 80% of people with fibromyalgia are women. Because women watching their weight have bought into the low-fat message. Little did they know, however, that they may have set themselves up for a chronic pain condition. And somehow this low-fat eating plan did not seem to work for weight loss because, from my observation, the majority of clients with fibro also carry extra pounds.
They do, and it's kind of interesting. What I think that goes back to that energy crisis that they're under. They don't have the energy to move around and be as active as they used to be. Now, we're just saying the majority, but not everyone fits that,
right, for
sure. But I think a lot of people, if you start to think about the low-fat message, and people don't even realize that they're still buying into it until they actually start looking and say, oh, yeah, I still
have all these low-fat foods.
Yeah, I still do skim milk. I still order a skim milk latte. It's really interesting how programmed most people are on this low-fat message.
Or low-fat mayonnaise.
Yes.
Which, that's just gross.
So, I was just kind of watching our time here.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. You know, another major nutritional deficiency is the lack of animal protein. You know, lack of protein, you may be saying to yourself, and I know people are doing this, I thought I should eat more grains, because we're hearing this all the time.
Oh, we hear it every day.
And I should cut back on meat. And that's exactly what they're hearing on TV, aren't they?
They are. And it's confusing.
It is confusing for people. But again, what does research say? Because we always go back to what does research say? You know, it's interesting, probably more than we can actually say in this show, but we try to put some of the research in every show. Most interesting, it says, most women need at least 10 ounces, maybe more, 10, 12 to 14 ounces of protein daily to adequately support their immune system, especially women that are a little bit older, maybe in perimenopause, menopause, and older need that much animal protein.
They sure do.
And men, they usually need about 2 to 4 ounces more of protein, depending on their physical activity, you know, depending on how big they are, what their size is.
Oh, yeah.
So
we need to go to break.
All right.
And you are listening to Dishing Up Nutrition. As we have been saying, fibromyalgia is a chronic pain and fatigue condition. There's no one cause, but it may have many causes. And most people with fibromyalgia have food and chemical intolerances. Most react to MSG. Many react to food dyes, chocolate, shrimp, dairy products, sulfites, aspartame, gluten, peanuts, Tylenol, and tap water with high levels of chlorine and fluoride. So if you've got questions about fibro, give us a call today at 651-641-1071.
Well, welcome back to Dishing Up Nutrition. Fibromyalgia is a chronic pain disorder without many medications to control the symptoms, let's face it. You know, no one wants to live with chronic pain. So what can help? You know, eating the correct foods for your body. Let your cells work for you, not against you. I think that's an interesting thought.
That is.
Yeah. Work for you, not against you. And that's what happens with fibromyalgia. The cells are actually working against you. And so my best answer to chronic pain is to set up an appointment with a nutritional weight and wellness nutritionist and follow our plan exactly.
Not halfway.
No. And basically, now this is a big, big statement I'm going to make. I can guarantee in 6 weeks you'll have less pain if you follow it exactly as we write it.
Mm-hmm.
So call today. And if you have questions for us, it is 651-641-1071.
And we do have a question.
Okay.
Good morning, Miss Diane. You have a question for us?
Yes, I have a four-year-old granddaughter who just can't seem to settle down to go to sleep at night.
Mm-hmm.
She could be 2 to 3 hours even after she goes to bed before she falls asleep. And I'm wondering if magnesium glycinate might be helpful for her. And if so, what type of dosage?
Well, I think magnesium glycinate would be helpful. Probably it because it usually comes in a tablet form. We do have a product that's called Water Oz, and it's a liquid magnesium. And usually I think the dosage is like a half a teaspoon to a teaspoon for a four-year-old. Okay. And that would probably work the best for her. But here's the other thing that I have always noticed, that young children that have trouble sleeping often have a gluten sensitivity. So once you take out the crackers and the bread and the cereal, suddenly they're able to sleep again. So we always look first at food and then at supplements secondly. So I, of all the people that I've worked with all the kids that I've worked with, once we take the gluten out, suddenly they're able to sleep. Their nervous systems calm down and they can get to sleep right away.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, okay.
You're welcome. Thank you.
You know, the second part, the gluten sensitivity is probably a bigger challenge. Certainly, it's a much more difficult challenge than just taking a supplement, and
right.
We know that.
It is. But it does work. I've had a few clients like that as well, and we took the gluten out, cut the sugar out, and their kids fell asleep.
Right.
Yeah.
And a lot of times, this is true for people with fibromyalgia, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you take some of those problem foods out, and then suddenly a lot of the pain and the not being able to sleep goes away.
Yes, and we do have another question. Should we take
okay.
that?
Okay, sure.
Good morning, Kevin. You're on Dishing Up Nutrition. You have a question for us?
Yeah. I wanted to ask about a lot of the symptoms and the things you talked about with energy levels and food intolerances and those things. I have learned a little bit about them and incorporated some of them in my diet and starches and, you know, the wheat and dairy and those sort of things. And because of such a low energy level and fatigue, excuse me, the things you've talked about, but does the craving for the sugar or the starchy type food?
Yes, they do go away.
Ever go away?
Yes, they do. But I think the trick to this is that you have to eat sufficient amount of protein, but at the same time, you have to eat a sufficient amount of vegetables. So when we think in terms of, because you're taking away those sugars and starches, and so you know, for breakfast, you need to eat like maybe, you know, broccoli, but you also need to eat a little bit of sweet potato or a little bit of carrot, because those have more carbohydrates in them. And that's what seems to satisfy your cells better. And it satisfies your blood sugar and it gives you energy. And if you keep doing that 5 or 6 times a day, over and over and over, you'll see amazing change in your energy level within even 3 weeks. But you got to do it consistently. And I know people struggling with their energy have a hard time doing all this cooking. We understand that.
Mm-hmm.
And so we try to help people know how to do it and get it done with the least amount of output for energy that they can do. And, you know, with the hundreds and hundreds of people that we've worked with, we have ways to help people figure that out. So,
and as a man, you know, at breakfast, you're going to need more than just 2 eggs.
Oh, sure.
You're going to need at least 3, if not 4 eggs, and maybe a little bacon on the side.
Yes.
Yeah.
Without the nitrates and all the junk that would be in bacon.
Yes. So.
Yeah, I like the lean protein, like chicken and fish in that day.
Yep.
Don't mind eating, but the more protein I eat at the end of my meal, it seems like the more I crave the sugar, so I eat a little less protein.
That sounds very unusual.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, you know, I think maybe call our office and make an appointment because, you know, there's maybe a couple of other systems in your body that you need to rebalance first that is affecting your sugar cravings.
Oh, yeah.
So our number is at work there is 651-699-3438. And so we can get to the bottom of this stuff so we can help you feel better and have more energy. So, but thanks for the call this morning.
Yeah, thank you.
So, Brenna?
What are we back to?
Okay. Well, you know, if we were talking about, you know, we were just talking about the fact that men, they need a little bit more protein to have their enough energy.
Mm-hmm.
So, when we start to look at what is the cause of your fibromyalgia, and I don't think people even think this way. You know, but we do, you know.
Right.
You know, is it, if it's a viral infection, and we hear this often, you know, they'll say, people will say, oh gosh, I was really sick. I had this terrible virus and it hung on for 2 months.
Right.
And after that, I've never felt right after that.
Mm-hmm.
So the clue is that it's probably a viral infection underneath that's causing this, and the virus isn't totally out of their system.
No.
Or it could be a certain kind of bacterial infection. Or it could even be Lyme's disease that could be causing it.
Which is common here in Minnesota.
Yes. So it seems logical if you have one of these infections in your system, you need to support your immune system. And we know that eating animal protein several times a day provides your immune systems with the building blocks to fight off infections. And in reality, maybe you can avoid getting fibromyalgia because, hey, let's face it, we all get exposed to viruses.
Right.
And if we catch one of those and it, you know, it goes on and on, well, you know, I can say, I'm very happy to say, I don't get those usually. I don't get those.
Right.
Because I eat enough animal protein to keep my immune system going and I don't eat sugar.
Exactly. And we know, as we look at the first causes, this biochemical stress and its effect on our body, one of the most stressful situations that your body goes through are low blood sugars. So when you skip meals and your blood sugar drops below normal, you may feel anxious, tired, irritable, headachy, hungry. I just lump that all together and I call it hangry. But there are even more body organs affected, and this is very, very stressful on your brain and your adrenal glands. So if you skip meals once in a while, no big deal. But if you're skipping meals several times a week or several times a day, your body and your brain are in a constant state of stress.
So, you know, Brenna, let's think about this. Who of all of our clients, we have both men and women, who are famous for skipping meals?
Moms.
Moms, yes.
Yeah.
And it's, but, you know, dads don't skip meals as much.
No. No, they don't.
They eat their breakfast. They take a lunch break. They eat dinner,
right.
You know. No. So they're not, so then, and 80% of women, of all the people that have fibromyalgia are women.
Mm-hmm.
Could go back to that.
It could. Yes.
Okay.
Now, this sugar leading to this low blood leads to low blood flow to our brain. And very soon we've got chemical communicators confused. And suddenly we've got pain all over our bodies.
So say that again. It's like when your blood sugar drops.
When your blood sugar drops, you have low blood flow all over your body, but especially to your brain. And then we've also got very low chemical communicators, those neurotransmitters. We don't have enough of those floating around either. And our body becomes confused and we start getting mixed messages and pain.
So again, as nutritionists, we often have to teach clients to eat on schedule every 2.5 to 3 hours, because if we don't teach them this, they skip meals.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we actually help people learn how to stay ahead of their hunger. And we have found that when you stay ahead of your hunger, you'll have less pain, better memory, and more energy.
You sure will. Now, by staying ahead of your hunger, you reduce biochemical stress on your body. You have less fibro fog, less pain, more energy, and better moods.
It's kind of a simple solution, isn't it?
It's a simple solution, but it can be difficult to implement sometimes. But we're going to go to our last break here. You are listening to Dishing Up Nutrition. If you are a person who just can't give up your sugar, I would recommend signing up for our Nutrition for Weight Loss program to strengthen your willpower. Also, if sugar is an issue for you, be sure to tune in next week as Jennifer, Anna, and Dar discuss sugar cravings, emotional or biochemical. So if you've got questions, give us a call at 651-641-1071.
It's the time of year when everyone wants to diet. The trick is choosing the right one. Now, there are those plans that say, eat whatever you want. Well, that's kind of what got you here in the first place, right? How about getting to the bottom of why you want what you want? Because there was a time when people didn't want that stuff. Mac and cheese, bagels, cookies, chips. Yeah, mostly because they didn't exist. But obesity didn't really either. The challenge these days is to either avoid those foods, which can be torture, or stop craving them, which might sound kooky, but is entirely possible, and your best chance for success. The folks at Nutritional Weight and Wellness can help you make it happen without pills, points, or packages. Just real food. It's sciency, not sexy, but you can be. To sign up for Nutrition for Weight Loss, call Nutritional Weight and Wellness at 651-699-3438 or visit weightandwellness.com.
Well, welcome back to Dishing Up Nutrition. Clients tell us daily when they stop eating sugar and bread, they have less pain and more energy. And we have found about a third of the clients simply follow the plan and feel better very quickly. It's a no-brainer.
It is a no-brainer.
But about a third of the clients, they fall off their eating plan once in a while, and then they have more pain for a few days, and they make a decision, I'm going to be more committed to my plan, because
yes.
I don't want this pain.
Nope.
And then there's about a third of the clients who struggle with their gluten and sugar addiction. They just can't seem to commit. So what's the solution for these clients? You know, I suggest daily that they make the commitment to practice. Just practice eating meals without sugar or gluten. Practice. You know, research tells us that when people practice good eating habits and self-control, and I'll say that one more time, when they practice good eating and self-control, they actually create new pathways in their brain and self-control becomes a habit. It's kind of... It takes practice.
It does take practice. New habits take practice.
So then the question you have to ask yourself, are you willing to practice?
Yes.
You have to be willing. So we have some callers.
We have one caller, yes. Good morning, Miss Tess. You have a question for us?
I do. I was diagnosed with something called chronic myofascial pain.
Mm-hmm.
But as I've listened to the program, my symptoms sound almost identical to what you're describing fibromyalgia to be.
Yes, and a lot of people... Okay, go ahead with your question.
Well, I just, you know, I was wondering if maybe I was misdiagnosed or
Well, you know, I think a lot of times there's so many of these things that are, they're very similar. So people have pain and they can't sleep and they ache. And they're tired and all these very similar conditions. And I think sometimes it is very difficult to determine exactly what people have. But the solution still goes back to, you know, they don't have medications for this. So
right.
It goes back to, you got to do it with nutrition, with food.
Okay.
So
thank you very much.
Thanks for
You're
the
welcome.
Call.
We were staying ahead of our hunger.
Okay. That sounds great. So, You know, again, staying ahead of your hunger sounds so simple, but it is a major lifestyle habit that seems to be very difficult for many people.
A habit they have to practice.
Yep. And it takes planning. You know, we really encourage people to sit down at night before the next day and write out their meal plan. And then you'll know what you're doing.
That's it.
And food and eating is not a stressor any longer. You have a plan.
That's right. You know, or if they're not doing it the night before, at least at the beginning of the week, they got to write out a plan for meals.
Yes, they do.
So that they know what to get at the grocery store. And I like to help my clients look at all of the foods that may be causing them to have more pain or fatigue. And for most clients with fibromyalgia, sugar must go. But so do artificial sweeteners. And I've also found that when clients stop chewing gum or using breath mints, they have less pain.
And that's a great observation.
Yeah.
Because, gum has artificial sweeteners, breath mints, artificial sweeteners.
Yep.
And let's face it, soda must go, especially diet soda. I think most people realize soda causes them to feel more achy and inflamed. But how many have realized when they eat a small amount of low-fat, artificial sweetened yogurt, you know, those little six-ounce things?
Yep.
They have more fiber fog.
And they don't fill you up.
No.
No. A lot of people realize that when they eat a sandwich for lunch, the next day they have a hard time getting their body moving. Now, what is this telling you? Could you be sensitive to bread? Maybe your immune system can no longer handle wheat or other gluten grains.
You know, one of my clients told me every time she takes her grandchildren to her local Dairy Queen for an ice cream treat, the next day she has an attack of irritable bowel and a migraine. Isn't that crazy?
But, yeah.
You know, so we have to say perhaps her digestive system can no longer tolerate milk and sugar.
These treat foods aren't really treating you very well.
It's really simple to, you know, look at your body and determine what's happening.
Right. Now, bread and other gluten foods are often a problem. Milk and other dairy foods are often a problem. And sugar is usually, if not always, a problem.
You know, we've said this many times, but fibromyalgia is a common and very complex chronic pain condition that affects people physically, mentally, and socially. And 80% of people with fibromyalgia are women. There is no agreed upon cause, but really there are many causes. Mm-hmm. You know, and typical pain meds don't really help much. But, you know, let's face it, women are looking for relief when you have a lot of pain. And they're becoming addicted to these pain meds. And that actually creates another layer of problems. Our treatment centers right now are full of women that are getting off of these pain medications. There was a big news report this week on this.
Wow, yeah. Highly addictive.
Mm-hmm.
And we do have a caller on the line. We've got time?
I think hopefully we do.
Good morning, Miss Carol. You have a question for us.
Yes, I had heard the woman talk about her granddaughter who could not sleep, and you suggested gluten-free and sugar-free.
Yes.
In short, would that be similar for an adult?
Yes.
I've been taking the magnesium glycinate and 5-HTP for several months, and I've tried a lot of different things for insomnia, but it seems like things work well for a while, and then they fall off.
Yes, and that goes back to what you're eating.
So then another question going with that is, do I need to also go dairy-free?
You know, some people, you know, if you were really having trouble sleeping, I would. I'd do no gluten, no dairy, no sugar, and then do that for, say, 6 weeks, and then reintroduce a little bit of dairy because
I have kind of done that. I kind of went the dairy-free route, and I've never really been bothered by dairy.
Okay.
But I cannot pinpoint what is not making me sleep, and I do absolutely everything else right. I exercise. I don't take caffeine after 8 a.m. or,
sure.
You know, my eating is fabulous, but there's got to be something I'm just not quite doing right. So I might just, and I've heard a little bit about the gluten-free, but not a lot about it.
Well, so I think that's going to make a big difference for you. Okay. So give it a try.
I will do that.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
That was a good question, actually.
That was a good question. We've got another question, too.
Oh, okay. All right, we may run out of time.
Oh, good morning, Miss Linda. You have a question?
Oh, yes. I have muscular dystrophy, and, you know, they tell me that my muscles are being replaced with fat, but I have a lot of arthritis. In fact, I'm having a knee replacement in August. And so my question is, when people talk about, can you do things with your nutrition without going off dairy? Because that, to me, would be much harder than going without sugar.
Oh, you can, but, you know, doesn't that give you a clue that sometimes what we say, that the foods that are the most difficult for people to give up are the ones that they're actually sensitive to?
Really?
Yeah. So, you know, it might be something that you want to look at and do. I'd say go off of it for 6 weeks or 2 months and just see how you feel. If you feel much, much better, you'll know that it's a problem. And that is easy to give up. It really. Well, you know, you could still have butter. And usually most people, because that's just a fat, and most people still can have like heavy whipping cream because that's basically just fat. You know, it's just the yogurts and the cheese and the milk that they need to give up.
And the ice cream.
And the ice cream, oh,
even
yeah.
Like Greek yogurt? Because
even Greek yogurt.
Greek yogurt, too, because that's high in protein. And what you're really sensitive to, if people are sensitive to dairy, it is the casein, the protein that is in dairy that people are sensitive to, that creates that inflammation response.
Wow. See, I live by eating a protein shake
in
the morning.
Hey, give it a try.
Give it a try. You can do it.
Okay. You know, just switch that protein shake out to having
some eggs.
A couple of eggs.
Or leftover salmon.
Yep. Good idea.
Okay.
Thanks for the call.
Thank you.
Thank you, Miss Linda.
So, Brenna, I know we're almost out of time.
Almost.
What's a better solution?
A better solution is to rebalance the body and brain nutritionally. Does a nutrition plan help? Well, you bet it does, and Carolyn knows it does. Here is what she wrote on our Nutritional Weight and Wellness Facebook page. I've had fibro for 16 years, and it is much better since I implemented Nutritional Weight and Wellness Plan. Simple solutions can change your life.
Thank you for listening today, and thank you, Brenna, for being on.
You're welcome.
I love you, all is groovy.
Thanks for listening to Dishing Up Nutrition. If you enjoy this podcast, please leave us a review on iTunes. The content and opinions expressed are those of the hosts or presenters. They are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent disease. Statements made with respect to products have not been evaluated by the FDA.